Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Happy Sunday, happy Palm Sunday. It's good to be back. We've missed you guys, but it is good to be back on the saddle. I mentioned this the last time I preached. I'm so excited for what God is going to do this year. And I want us to keep that same excitement. I want us to still have that focus. I'm excited for the countless testimonies that we're going to receive in this house. Who's excited for that? I don't know about you, but I want to have countless testimonies. That by the end of this year, I'll have so many testimonies, it's too much to count. Come on, who's with me? I'm excited for mass salvations in this house. I believe that this house is a house where God will just encounter people. People will encounter the love of God, and through that, they will give their lives to God. Come on, somebody say amen to that. I'm excited for breakthroughs. Who's excited for breakthroughs? Who's waiting for a breakthrough? I'm excited for some blessings. I'd love some blessings. And I'm excited for just more godly encounters. Not just for us as a church, but for us individually. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Not just on a Sunday, but from Monday to Sunday. And I just want to encourage us in this scripture. I failed to share this scripture when I was preparing for today, and it comes from Galatians 6:9. It says this, and let us not grow weary in doing good. Yeah. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. Yeah. Here's the kicker though. If we do not give up. If we do not give up. And I just want to encourage us, Pneuma, Melbourne West, hey, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Is that okay? Can we keep going? It's like Pastor Sonia said, next week is already April. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's continue to pray without ceasing. Let's continue to dive into the Word of God. And let's continue to meet with one another. Amen? Amen. It's necessary. It's necessary. If we want to advance the kingdom of God, it's necessary. And so again, I just want to encourage us, hey, Pneuma Melbourne West, let's keep going. Is that cool? Hey, before I share the word, I just want to take this moment as well and just give a shout out to our ops core team, our ops team. If you're an ops team, if you're a part of the soft ops team, why don't you just stand up for a second? Come on, why don't we just give them a round of applause. Ash, Steph, any ushers, stand up. Production team, stand up. Matt, Dave, don't be shy, stand up. Connection team. You know, I just really want to honor these guys for, as Pastor Sonia mentioned, we were away on leave, and these guys, along with the prayer and worship team, they make Sundays happen. And so after the service during family lunch, make sure you say hello to them. Make sure you thank them that we can run a service like this. And I really appreciate you guys. So thank you so much. Come on, give them a round of applause again. I also want to honor and give a shout out to Pastor Sonia and the leadership team. Thank you so much for releasing me and the fam. We had a good time. We went to Bali. We went to Bali, guys. Everyone, every Aussie I know has been to Bali. And now I'm one of those guys. But when I went there, people thought I was Indonesian. Obviously. I told Noah that Bali is the third island of Australia. There's so many Aussies there. Yeah. But it was so much fun. We were just splashing in the water, eating a lot of seafood. Praise the Lord, I don't have Bali belly. Apparently, if you eat seafood or anything like that, you get Bali belly. Thank God. Every time the food came to the table, Lord, bless this food. In Jesus' name, I don't get bali belly. We're just splashing in the water. The kids loved it. I was doing wrestling moves on them, body slams in the water. It was really good. But, you know, with that said, although we were in vacation, I want to let you guys know that we've not stopped praying for you guys. We've been praying for you guys. We've been interceding for you guys. Let me tell you, the Catawba clan loves you guys. We love Newman Melbourne West. And again, we just had such a great time. And, you know, we've been praying for you guys. You guys are my Westies besties. Hey? My Westies besties. And I actually want to share a couple of testimonies before we get into the word. Is that okay? Is that okay? Can I chit-chat for a bit? It's been a while, guys. It's been a while. I want to share a couple of testimonies. We were there for 2 weeks, and the first week we went to Bali. We went to the shopping center just after church. We also visited a church there, and we got connected to some of the pastors there, but it was really cool. Anyways, after church, we decided to go to one of the shopping centers just to get some lunch. And Vanya needed to get a SIM card because we didn't have a SIM card yet. So we went to one of those local SIM card, like Vodafone, Telstra type of booths. And while we were at church, they were actually promoting Easter weekend. They were promoting their Easter weekend. And in every seat, they had this invitation. So we took an invitation with us. And while we were speaking to this lady who was helping us, I just felt the Lord say, I want you to invite her to church. I want you to invite her to church. And so I did, and I gave out the invitation. I didn't realize the invitation had John 3:16 at the back of it. And how many of us know John 3:16? You know, God love, God gave, you believe, you receive. And so I gave her a little bit of SJC treatment, shared with her the gospel. And, you know, at first I was like, I don't know if she's really receiving this because she just had such a blank stare and she looked really disinterested. And, you know, I just kept going. The Holy Spirit told me, just keep going, just keep going. And towards the end, I asked if I can pray for her, and then she said yes. And after I prayed for her, she actually, she smiled for the first time as we were having a chat. And she said to me, I'm going to invite my friend to this church because she's also a Christian. She was actually Muslim, by the way. So when I asked her if you know about Jesus, she's like, yeah, I do. I'm Muslim, da-da-da. And I asked her if I can pray for her. I prayed for her, da-da-da-da. And then after I prayed for her, she's like, thank you so much. I'm actually going to come to this church and invite my friend who's also a Christian. So how good is that? So she's probably out there right next week. She'll be there next week. So praise God. Come on. How good is that? Just because you're on holidays, it doesn't mean you stop being a disciple and stop listening to the Holy Spirit. Hey? Okay. Now, the second week, we grabbed this Uber, which is called Grab, all right? And this guy who picked us up, he didn't know how to speak English, so we were, like, speaking through Google Translate. Yeah. I'm, like, speaking in English, and then I translate it, and he'll speak on the phone, da-da-da-da, would be back and forth. But the conversation ended up with me, again, sharing the gospel. And I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, just say this to him. I had a word of knowledge and I just shared that with him. And he was so shocked. He's like, wow, how do you know all that stuff? Are you like a fortune teller or something? You're like a prophet from Australia or something. I said, no, man, it's just the Holy Spirit. And he goes, wow, so God is so real. I'm like, yeah, man, yeah. And then I ended up sharing with him the gospel, just simple, how God loves him. Again, God love, God gave, you believe, you receive. And then I ended up praying for him, and he received the prayer. And towards the prayer, he said, man, thank you so much. What you said to me have really touched my heart. And so how good is that? That even though we didn't know how to speak each other's languages, the gospel was still able to be sent. The gospel was still able to be communicated through Google Translate. So how good is that, huh? Come on, praise God for that. So good. And so I want to invite you guys, let's be praying for Bali. I love Bali. Bali's got a soft spot in my heart now. And let's be believing that Bali will have a revival. Is that cool? Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. All right, so I'm so excited to share the word with you today. And as Pastor Sonia mentioned, over the course of this month, we've been doing a series on Christology, however you want to say it. And today, I have the honor of just wrapping us up. And Christology, in definition, simply means the study of Christ. Okay? Everybody say study of Christ. study of Christ. And it's a doctrine, it's a topic of doctrine under the umbrella of theology, okay, which simply means the study of God. And in the doctrine of Christology, we look at who Jesus is, okay? We look at his divinity and we look at his humanity. We look at what Jesus came to do, his mission and his purpose. And so in Christology, we learn about who he is and what he came to do and what that means for us. We look at his identity and his purpose. Notice how your identity and purpose are closely related. I just want to encourage us that, once you discover your identity in Christ, your purpose is revealed. Okay. So we look at his identity and his purpose. And so why do we need to know Christology? Why do we need to understand Christology? Well, simply put, Jesus is the center of our faith. Jesus is the center of our faith. Acts 4:12 tells us this: salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name but the name of Jesus under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Salvation comes from Jesus and from Jesus alone. It is only through Jesus Christ that we are saved. Church, we are Christians because we believe in Christ. We are Christians because we have received Christ. The Christian life itself, Newman Melbourne West, is a relationship with this person, Jesus Christ, who is both God and man. And so Christology, in its core, is a very, very personal doctrine. Because it's more than just about studying about a person, it's also having a relationship with this person. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. Jesus Christ, he's the focus of our faith. He's the center of our faith. Are we good so far? And so understanding his nature, understanding his character, understanding his love for us is essential. It's essential in walking with God. It's so important that we know Jesus rightly. It's so important that we understand Christology, because if we can see him rightly, we can worship him rightly.
Yeah, that's right.
If we can see him rightly, we can follow him rightly.
Yeah.
If we can see him rightly, we can serve him rightly. And if we can see him rightly, we can share about him rightly. And so I want to share with you a passage of scripture that comes from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Oops. It talks about the life exampled by Christ. From a form of God to a form of man, to death on the cross and to being exalted. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. I'm reading from the ESV. And it says this: so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition. That's a word for someone. Or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed him on him, and the name that is above every name. Jesus is the name above every name. so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How good is that scripture? And so when it comes to Christology, again, we talk about his divinity, his humanity, and his mission. And so one of the things that we need to know about Christology is that Jesus is God. Philippians 2:6 tells us that prior to incarnation, Christ was in the form of God. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so before creation of heaven and earth, before the creation of mankind, we see Jesus Christ in his divinity. And during his life and after his life, we see others confess about his divinity. In John 20, verse 28, Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus, confessed and said, "My Lord, my God," speaking about Jesus after seeing Jesus resurrected. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, not only calls Jesus Savior, but he calls Jesus God. In Hebrew, Jesus is described as the radiance glory of God, the exact imprint of God's nature. In the Gospel of Matthew, when describing the birth of Jesus Christ, they called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in Colossians, we see Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus is described as the image of the invisible God, and the one by whom all things were created in heaven and on earth. Paul declares that Jesus is the fullness of God. He's the fullness of God. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, just like Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul not only calls Jesus Savior, but he calls Jesus his God. And so throughout this scripture, we see the divinity of Jesus Christ. We see that he existed before creation. We see that he was part of creation. We see that he contains the fullness of God and reveals God perfectly, and is called God by his followers. But what does Jesus say about himself and his divinity? Well, in John chapter 8, verse 58 tells us that when Jesus was answering to the Jewish leaders, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And if you read the whole story, we see that these Jewish leaders, they picked up the stone ready to throw it at Jesus, because according to them, it's blasphemy. Why? Because "I am" echoes the name of God in Exodus 3:14, where God says to Moses, "I am who I am," when Moses asked God, "What's your name?" In John 10:30, Jesus declares that he and the Father are one. In John 14:9, Jesus tells Philip, again, it's always Philip, the doubting Philip, that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. In John 11:25, Jesus tells to Martha, after the death of Lazarus, that he is the resurrection and the life. That whoever believes in him, though he die, he shall still live. Declaring that Jesus is the source of life. Yeah. Only a God can do that. Yeah. He's the source of life. Something only a God can do. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Claiming that the only way to God is through him. And that Jesus, in John 17, tells us that Jesus shares the same glory with the Father before the world existed. And if we read the revelation of John, the beloved, we see that Jesus was declared as Alpha and Omega. Jesus is God. He's Alpha and Omega. His beginning and the end. He carries all authority in heaven and on earth. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to deliver people, the power to heal. And through the name of Jesus, we can find salvation. And church, I want to ask you this morning, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Do we live our lives like Jesus is God, or do we just say it with our lips? Do we really declare and believe with our heart that Jesus is God, or do we just give him lip service? When we say Jesus is Lord, when we say Jesus is God, do our decision reflect that? Does our life reflect that Jesus is Lord? Or have we become too familiar and forgotten about his divinity? Have we become like professional Christians, as I mentioned before? When we worship, when we praise, when we lift up our hands, do we truly worship him as God? Or do we just call on him when we need help? Hello. Something to think about. Something to reflect on. No, though Jesus walked in power, no, though he walked in authority, he walked in divinity, but through his humility, Jesus also walked in humanity. Christology teaches us that Jesus not only had a divine nature, but Jesus also had a human nature, like the band. Okay, that went past everyone. You guys don't know the band Human Nature? We're too young. Is this burning an eternal flame? You guys don't know that song? Anyway. Is it? Is it the wrong song? Soz. Human Nature, it's a band. It's a boy band. But Jesus not only had a divine nature, he had a human nature. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8 says this, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form. Now, I want us to be clear. Here we see Jesus emptying himself, not getting rid of his divinity. Okay, I want us to make that clear. He's not getting rid of his divinity, but instead he lowered himself. He humbled himself and voluntarily set aside all his divine privileges by taking on the form of a servant, being found in human form, fully embracing the limitation and the realities of human life. And in John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see here the Word, Jesus, becomes flesh, emphasizing the full reality of the incarnation. He dwelt among us. He dwelt among humanity, sharing in human experiencing and revealing God's glory. He gets us. Jesus gets us. Why? Because he is fully human. He was born just like all of us. And we see that in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, it tells us that the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom and favor of God was upon him. In Luke 2:52 tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus was not only born, but he also grew up, just like all of us. And in John 14, he grew tired, just like all of us. In John 19:28, he was thirsty, just like all of us. In Matthew 4:2, he was hungry, just like all of us. In 4:11, he felt weak, just like all of us. These are the things that our bodies experience as humans. And guess what? Jesus experienced them too. And in Luke 23, verse 46 tells us that Jesus breathed his last. In other words, Jesus also experienced death. Not only that, but on top of experiencing human limitations, Jesus also experienced human emotions. When it came to the faith of the centurion, he was marveled. Wow. In Matthew 26, verse 38, he felt sorrowful. In John chapter 11, verse 33, he was greatly troubled. And he goes on to read that he even wept. Jesus wept. He cried. And so Jesus, in his humanity, he carries a human body, has a human heart, has a human mind, and has a human will. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 tells us this: therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Christ, the Lord, Christ, the Messiah, enters the fullness of humanity, becoming like one of us, experiencing humanity like us. Huh. Jesus saves us by making our human situation his own. I love what David Mathis says. He's a executive editor for Desiring God. Have you guys ever went to Desiring God before? It's a great website. He says this: Jesus is like us in every respect. Human body, human heart, human mind, and human will, except for sin. How amazing is that the divine Son of God would not just take on part our humanity on the first Christmas, but all of it, and then take it out on true humanity all the way to the cross for us, and now into heaven and the new creation. Jesus took a human body to save our bodies. He took on a human mind to save our minds. Without becoming man in his emotion, he could have not rescued our hearts. And without taking a human will, he could have not saved our broken and wandering wills. He became man in full so that he might save us in full. Wow, so good. He is truly a marvelous Savior. That was David Mathis. And so, church, I want to ask us the question: what does it say about God's heart that he became human? Right? Must have such a deep love for us. For him to get rid of his godly privileges, his divine privileges, his position, his title, just so he can go on the cross for our sin, just so we can be reconciled back to the Father. What does that say about God's heart that he became human? What does it mean to you, church, that Jesus understands human pain? If you've been betrayed before, guess what? Jesus felt it. If you've been lied before, guess what? Jesus has felt it. If you've been backstabbed before, guess what? Jesus has felt it. This might be a bit personal. But if Jesus experienced all those things, he experienced fatigue, he experienced sorrow, he's experienced pain, he's experienced heartbreak, he's experienced betrayal, why do we feel like we have to pretend like everything's okay? I want to encourage you, wherever you are in your season, bring it to the Lord. Let me tell you, God is a personal God. He's not distant. We can be real with him. Yeah. Bring it to the Lord. Submit it to God. Be honest with him. Yell at him if you have to. I have. Cry to him. Yeah. Share with him your pain. Let me encourage you in this. He gets it. Yeah. Why? Because he's felt it too. Yeah. He's felt it too. Yeah. Huh. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. And so now we see that Jesus is full in his divinity, but he's also full in his humanity. Jesus is God, fully God, and Jesus is fully human. But what are some heretical teachings or wrong teachings that we can find ourselves when it comes to Christology? Because maybe for some of us, it's not to condemn, but it's actually to correct and to realign. Maybe for some of us, we've felt under this camp. And I want to share with you three common ones. There's actually a few more, but I want to share with you three common ones. And the first one is Arianism. And their claim is that Christ, the Son, is not fully God, but rather a created being. Okay? stating that before there was a time, the Son was not. That's their kind of main motto or main statement. Apollinearism, their claim is that Christ has a human body but does not contain human mind and the human soul. But instead, it's replaced by the Logos, by the Word. So it's still God in a sense, which suggests that Christ is not fully human. Okay? And Nestorianism, okay, sorry guys, this heresy is one of the most subtle ones because it does teach that Jesus is fully God. It does teach that Jesus is fully man, but they are in two persons. Okay? And so in AD 451, the Council of Chalcedonian addresses these heresies. They write up a doctrinal statement affirming that Jesus, yes, has two natures, fully God, fully man, but is united in one person. Okay? And so this term is called hypostatic union. Jesus being fully God and fully man. It's called hypostatic union, which is the unity of the divine and human nature of Jesus Christ, okay? And this unity is unbreakable. It cannot be torn. This union cannot be separated. In other words, everything that Jesus does, everything that we hear that Jesus does in the Bible, he does as God, he does as man. It's not that when he heals someone, he operates in his God side. And then when he cries, he operates in his human side. No, everything that Jesus does when we read the Bible is done as fully God and fully man. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what does Jesus came to do? What was he sent on earth to do? Well, simply to save the world, to save us. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 says this, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Romans 5, 8 tells us that God demonstrated his love for us, that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3, 16, verse 17 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 tells us this, the Lord is not slow into fulfill his promise as some countless slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. His heart is for us to be saved. His heart is for us not to be perished. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 says this, this is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. His heart, his desire is for us not to perish, not to rot in hell, but to be saved. Yeah. His heart is for us to have a relationship back to the Father. In Matthew 4, 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Simply put, Jesus was sent to save the world, die for our sins, demonstrate the love of God, give us eternal life, establish the kingdom of God, and call into life a repentance and truth. This is what Jesus was sent for. And he accomplished it when he went on the cross. And then he rose again. And because of what Christ has done, church, come on. Because of what Christ has done, in Christ you are forgiven. Come on, I need some amens in this house. In Christ you are saved. In Christ you are justified. In Christ you have been reconciled. In Christ you are loved. In Christ you are adopted. In Christ you are cleansed. In Christ you are healed. In Christ you are redeemed. In Christ you are free. In Christ you are rescued. In Christ you are triumphant. In Christ you have hope. In Christ you have an inheritance. In Christ you have peace. And in Christ you have rest. Come on, give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Here's my encouragement to us. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He does not want you rotting in hell, but instead He wants to have a deep relationship with you, church. It's God's desire. It's even in the scripture. It's His desire. It's His heart that all be saved. And so understanding all this, understanding His nature, understanding His divinity, His humanity, His mission, His purpose, how do we live it out? How do we live out Christology? How do we practice this doctrine? If I can get the band to come up. How do we live out this doctrine of Christology? What does it mean? Well, practicing Christology simply means to become more like Christ. To become more like Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ is our Lord. Yes, He's our King. Yes, He's our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Savior. But Jesus is also our example. I want to read to you Romans 12, verse 9 to 21. It says this, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. By the way, the subtitle of this is Marks of a Christian. Okay, so as I read this, check yourself. Lord, am I aligned with that scripture? It says this, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. I reckon that's a good one. Should have a competition. Don't be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. That's a word for someone. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saint and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you and bless, but do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will reap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Practicing Christology is simply to become more like Christ. To become Christ-like. To become who we worship, who we behold. To imitate Christ. To love as Christ loved. To walk as Christ walked. To walk in humility as Christ walked in humility. To walk in obedience as Christ walked in obedience to the Father. To suffer as Christ suffered. But to also reign in victory as Christ reigned in victory. And to be holy because God is holy. Practicing Christian theology. Practicing Christology, means to be transformed more into who Jesus is. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.